The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. And oh, you made a bit more of an effort today, Robbo.
Changed the shirt and tie.
Not a tie last night, nothing. It was very much kind of 2 o'clock in the morning, coming back from a wedding.
Let me tell you, I was on the show with Gab Marcotti. When you're on the show with Gab Marcotti, you can't put a tie and a proper jacket on, can you?
He didn't have any socks on again.
Yeah, no socks.
Did he not?
No.
He had his, one of his buttons was coming undone. He wasn't a pretty
guy. I don't think that was intentional. I came in the building last night and they said, Rob was here and I scuppered.
Yeah, that was it. You went running.
Scuppered out, so I didn't see the show. Can I scupper this show?
Well, you do it every day, so why would you go against the grain?
I'm refusing to take part in this show today.
Right.
If the words Ronaldo and pressing come out.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see what happens.
Ronaldo can't press, right?
Marciano Vink will be joining us later on to give us a Dutch perspective on things. Meanwhile, Eden Hazard, of course, has had a tough time, to say the least, since making that big money move from Chelsea to Real Madrid. Could this season be different? He sat down and spoke exclusively to Mauricio Pedroza.
How would you describe the importance of this upcoming season for you personally?
It's been a few seasons that I was not playing that much. So for me, it's like the 4-1 now with this club. I just want to show that what I can do on the pitch. That's my only target.
How do you feel now comparing to how the things you had to go through the last couple of years?
I'm good. I'm healthy, you know. Thank you for that. I can play, you know. I can do what I want on the pitch, so I hope I'm going to stay fit, two or three more years. I still want to enjoy my game, and that's why I'm here.
Because injuries seem to be part of the conversation around your career at Real Madrid. How have you been able to cope with those injuries and not lose motivation?
Believe me, it's not that easy. You know, when you play football, you just want to be on the pitch. And when you are out the pitch, you try to, you know, what's happened, you know, because I was not injured before, and so it was something new for me to be injured. So you have to learn. It's a way to learn the way you have to do things. Your body, you know, you take care with in different way, and you work more with physios. This kind of thing. But it's a good challenge now. I'm healthy, so I'm just ready to play.
What changes did you make personally with your routine during the off season? Once the Champions League finished, did you make anything different this off season to come in this very good shape that you're at right now?
Not that much. I spent 2 weeks with Belgium at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. I was able to play 4 games, not 90 minutes, but. And then I was like, also, you know, in my mind was like, okay, I can play. I don't feel it. I don't feel any pain anymore. So let's go forward, you know. And then I just enjoy my holiday. I walk a bit, you know, between. It's only 1 month, so just to be ready for the preseason. I did enough.
When you see your club succeed like you guys did last year, winning the league, winning the Champions League, but you're not having the minutes that you want to have on the pitch. That mix of feelings, how would you describe it?
It's just like you say, it's a mix. You're happy for the boys, you're happy for the club, you're happy for the fans, but you know, inside you, it's like, I'm happy too. I can't show that I'm not happy, you know, because football is like a collective thing. But inside me, I was like, okay, I won good things this season, but I was not playing that much. So let's show that I can play and we can win with me, you know, with me involved on the pitch.
And Hazard there saying everything right, everything you would expect him to say. You know, I'm raring to go, here we go, I'm looking to prove a point. Has he still got the capability to do that?
From the evidence of last season, when he did play some game time, no, because his ability when he was at Chelsea was to offer, he could get from a standing start with the ball, he could get away from people. He could twist and turn and suddenly he was away from people, had that explosive pace over the first 5 yards. Last season, whenever he was playing, and it wasn't that often, I think we said 18% of times he played, he didn't have that explosive pace. He just couldn't go past people. He had to then turn away and come back and play into midfield. Whereas when he was at his best and when he was playing at Chelsea, in and around the box, he was majestic. He'd go past people, create chances, score goals himself. He hasn't done that. And after 3 years of not being fully fit, I'm not sure he's ever going to get that back.
Stevie, though, believes. He thinks after the operation that he's had on his ankle that he can come back to be very close to the player that he was at Chelsea.
Wow. If you look behind Hazard in that interview there, there was a very large ship sailing out to sea.
Right.
Into the sunset, because you don't turn up as a new signing at such a big club with the weight of the expectations on your shoulders that he had as one of the next Galacticos in the shape that he did. And that contributed over a period into his loss of form, loss of fitness. It also contributes to injuries. The sports science will tell you that. And he's never looked the same. And at 31, you can't just switch it on. I mean, maybe at 22, 23 or below 25, you could say, right, get a gigantic kick up the backside and I'll go again. That's very difficult to do that at 31.
Explain why. Because the body just...
Everything is more difficult the latter you go on in your career. So the things you can shake off when you're in your early 20s, you can't shake off in your 30s. You have to rest more. You have to work harder when you're working. And you have to look after yourself more. You can't just go, right, I've had the operation. I've lost a bit of timber. Oh, I'm back. It doesn't happen like that.
There's always been a question mark over his training. Everyone, even when he was at his best, and they say he wasn't a great trainer. And he said something in that interview where he was saying, well, when it was in, I wasn't quite sure how to really cope with it. You know, I wasn't used to it. When you're injured, and Craig was injured for quite a bit, I was injured for a lot, I just took myself away from the club, found the best physios I could possibly do, and I trained 7 hours a day.
Wow.
I was going to prove at the time it was West Ham United, that when I come back in a year and a half time, I'm going to be fitter than any of your players. And I made sure that I did all the right things. I was working harder then than I ever did when I was actually playing, because the games would keep you fit. I'm not sure that Eden Hazard has done that over the last 2 or 3 years. Has he done it in pre... And when he's talked about he went on holiday when I was injured, I didn't go on holiday during the summer. You worked as hard as you possibly could because you needed to be fit.
I didn't sleep. I didn't go on holiday.
He's going to prove something. And I don't think he's... And is he going to get game time even if he is fit? Because... look at the players they've got there. Benzema, Vinicius Junior. We're seeing all these players play really well. Is he going to get in the side? I don't think he is.
I think that's the point. He's not getting in the team.
Well, this is what Ancelotti had to say when asked about Hazard. He said, we have a lot of options for the number nine position. Benzema is first choice, but we have to understand it will be a strange, different season with the World Cup in between. And we have to look at different options. My idea is to try to see Hazard in that position. Given the quality that he has, it could be good for us to try him there.
Is Ancelotti having a memory blank here? He tried it last year. Benzema had an injury problem last year. Yeah. We were worried about him. He tried Bale.
Yeah.
He tried Isco.
Yeah.
He tried Jovic. He tried Hazard.
And in the end, he played without centre-forward because the options weren't good enough.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
If he wants to play in the left-hand side, you've got Vinicius Junior. If he wants to go and play in the other wing, he's got, he's got Asensio, but primarily, I think, a better player in Valverde.
Yeah, they've got Rodrigo as well.
Now, Valverde will never, as a player, be able to reach the heights on talent-wise as Eden Hazard.
Yeah.
But what Valverde did last year as a sort of hybrid wide player midfielder chasing back was one of the reasons he was given the slot in the Champions League final.
Yep.
So he's got all those guys to jump and more and keep fit and hope that Benzema picks up an injury to get game time or... Karim Benzema needs a rest. And we saw Ancelotti operate last year. Even at times you thought he's going to give people a rest. He didn't. He didn't rotate his team that much. And his start on 11 for the most part.
And you have to say, it's sad. Because Eden Hazard was a great player to watch.
Yes.
When he's at his peak, he made Belgium one of the, well, they were number one in the world.
Yeah.
At least, I don't think they are anymore. But he was outstanding for them, with Lukaku up front as well. But it was Eden Hazard that made them such a good side. He could turn defence into attack. He'd go past people. He was the X factor. It's such a shame to see a player of that quality waste 3 years. Maybe due to injury, maybe not playing enough, but it's a real shame.
Once again, you'll be able to see La Liga here on ESPN. It all kicks off in just under a month's time for Real Madrid. They kick off the defence of their title away against Almeria. Meanwhile, a very new-look Barcelona side play against Rayo Vallecano at the Camp Nou.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Meanwhile, this is what Ten Hag had to say about his pressing system and Cristiano Ronaldo. I think Cristiano is capable of doing that in his career. He has shown everything. I've set my demand. We want to play a certain way. A top player can contribute, and Ronaldo is an absolute top player in our squad. Gab Marcotti has written, stylistically for United, it represents a 180-degree turn from what they played most of last season. On the surface, Ronaldo fits this approach about as well as Kylie Jenner fits into a UFC octagon. With a ton of patience, preparation and prayer, it might just work, but of those three Ps, you're realistically going to get only the last one. For a lot more on this, let's welcome in, shall we, our Dutch expert, Marciano Vink. Marciano, what do you make of this Cristiano Ronaldo dilemma that Ten Hag has?
It's certainly a dilemma. I think Cristiano Ronaldo, top player, should get a spot on the team of Ten Hag. Last year at Ajax, he had also like a couple of older players like Tadic and Blind. And he didn't expect from them to make those deep runs or put pressure on, put pressure on defenders. It's just to make those intelligent runs, those intelligent moments where you put pressure. So if Tadic can do it, if Haller can do it, they're not the most quickest players. Ronaldo should be able to do it. So in my opinion, Ronaldo in the system of Ten Hag could have a lot of fun, because this is a manager who wants bodies into the box. He wants a lot of players up front. He wants the attacking game. So if you're Cristiano Ronaldo and you like to score, and scoring is your something you're used to, a manager like Ten Hag would be perfect for him. The only question is, does he want to play in the Europa League? He's a player who wants to play Champions League. He already said it a couple of times, and he wants to do his trick one more time before the World Cup. So the ball is basically in his corner, and he has to say, I want to play for Man United, or, you know, I'll leave. And it's up to him. Ten Hag already said that he really wants him to be in the squad. So it's in his corner, in Ronaldo's corner, and he has to make the decision.
Well, you're going back to the pressing. Can Ronaldo do it? You don't have to be overly enthusiastic with your pressing to be a good player to block things off. If you say to him, now, when you go to the right side, he's sent off, make sure it doesn't go to the left side. So stand in the way. So right. Now we know where the ball's going to go. That's what he has to do. He has to be clever with his closing down. You don't have to run at 100 miles an hour and go and close people down to be a good presser of the ball. You have to stop it going into the areas to go past people. And I think Ronaldo should be doing that. Right. He didn't do it at Juventus, because there was times when he didn't work at all and he'd walk from one position to the other and he allowed people to play around him. Ten Hag, I think, if he wants Ronaldo to play, he's going to have to get it across to him. That's the job. I don't want you racing around, but right. Make sure we make the opposition predictable.
Everybody's driving me nuts on this thing. I mean, seriously, the amount of people who never even got a sniff of kicking a ball who think they know what pressing is.
Right.
They think they know the inside out what the game is, primarily because everybody's jumping on Twitter and social media and they're all coaches now. I get it. He's 37. We understand. Right. If it's not Ronaldo, you want to go and get... Basta have got themselves Lewandowski. Right, he's in his, 33, 34? Mm. Is he going to scuttle around the whole pitch? Is Karim Benzema going to scuttle around the whole pitch for night? No, he's not. And as Stuart said, if you're in a central position, as Ronaldo generally plays now, a coach is not, you're not running 100 yards length of the field back and forward. You're not a midfield dynamo box to box. You just have to make sure you've got a couple of guys outside you, if you're playing a front three, that when you go, everybody's in tandem. That you're taking the right positions and you're clever about it. When you realise when there's not a press on, you don't go on your own. This isn't, and I get it, it's not ideal. It's ideal to have a younger person running around. But when you're as clever as he is, and if it's done properly, he doesn't have to be scuttling around all over the place. He's got people that close with him.
Right.
And people have got this all wrong. It's as if he was part of Antonio Conte's training session and doing 42 lengths. I wouldn't expect him to do that and come out tops.
What he has to do is be disciplined to make the opposition predictable. And so he's closing, say that he goes to close the fullback down. He says, you're not going to come back inside. I'm not going to race across, but you're not going to come back to a centre. You're going to have to play it to the... to your right-sided player. And we all know that's going to the right-sided player now, so we all close and win it back from there. He doesn't have to run at 100 miles an hour all over the pitch.
Now, if you had a Ronaldo through the middle, and I'm just, for talking sake, we've seen people talking about Neymar. If you had those kind of players, what I would call, particularly Neymar and one or two others, kind of lazy, luxury, hugely talented, but, you know, you take them to the water, but you're unlikely to get them to drink. If you had those... flanking Ronaldo, that kind of player, whoever it is, then that's a problem.
Right.
But if you have everybody else who's on board and want to play your way and he's cute enough, it isn't the drama, I don't think, not for a short period, that everybody's making it out to be.
Meanwhile, as we've discussed, Ten Hag has come in and set rules and discipline, and Bruno Fernandes apparently has responded well to it. He says, I think we missed that for a while, and I think for me, the way I see discipline is important. Discipline is not only the way you play on the pitch, the position that you have, what you have to do, it's also off the pitch. Don't be late for meetings. Don't be late for the meals. I think that's really important, because if everyone is on time and someone comes late, he should be punished. And I think that's really good that he's doing that. Marciano, this just seems normal, doesn't it? This doesn't seem anything extreme. A manager comes in and wants you just to be on time.
Exactly. But what have the previous managers been doing then? Everybody could come whenever they wanted, or... we have a team meeting. Okay, you can come 5 minutes later. I don't understand, because normally as a manager, you would say, okay, these are my principles. This is the way I really want it to happen. And if you can't deal with it, then you have to go, or I won't be using you. Or you get a fine. But in a way, it's very strange that Ten Hag had to tighten everything and, you know, set new rules. It should be, as in a club like Man United, come on, it should be normal that the players who get high salary, big payments, that you are disciplined on the pitch and off the pitch. So for me, it's really weird to read this.
That's interesting.
What, Bruno?
Yeah, that's a really interesting comment, because that's the same guy when... Manchester United were walloped at Vicarage Road by Watford, and the crowd, Man United fans behind the goals, were booing and hissing and chanting that he went over, and it was Solskjaer's last game. We didn't know it at the time, but we pretty much did. He was the guy who went over to the fans and said, "Don't blame." You remember it?
Don't blame the manager. Yeah.
So according to him at the time, what Solskjaer was doing was correct. Now all of a sudden the new manager's in, what Solskjaer doing wasn't correct. Rather hypocritical. To go back to the... to the manager's rules. It's a bit like these, I'm not going to mention names, but it's a bit like these documentaries that come out behind the scenes at football clubs.
Right.
And everybody goes, oh, this is exciting. Not for ex-players, generally, maybe there's one or two.
Yeah.
Because guess what? We've been behind the scenes in the dressing rooms, and all these things that you see and are quite exciting for the fans, the arguments that people go, oh, there's an argument. Oh my God, there was almost a fight. Welcome to the dressing room. These things are normality. If we didn't have these things, That's more of a problem.
But it's much easier to carry out all those rules and instructions when you've got the respect of the players and you've got respect because you've been a top-class manager and you've had results for a long time. Hopefully, Ten Hag, having had his success at Ajax, the players will respect what he's doing on the coaching field. They then respect all the rules and regulations. They really like what he's doing. And then you'll get a much better side and a much better discipline.
Manchester United's biggest signing so far, isn't it, of the summer has been Lisandro Martinez. This is what Ten Hag had to say about the centre-back joining United. He is left-footed, and that is an advantage in possession and defending. And he also brings a South American spirit, aggressiveness, control. He can bring spirit to the team, and in cooperation with the fans, I think it will fit really good to Manchester United and the way we play. Obviously, you've seen a lot of him, Marciano.
Yeah.
How's he going to fit in at United?
I totally agree with Ten Hag. It's although he's quite small for a defender, he makes up for it with a lot of aggression, grinta, as we say here. He has a good ability on the ball. He's a complete defender, and you know his strength is that he is able to lead the defense from behind, and also in build-up, he is probably with Timber, because Ten Hag wanted Timber at first, but Timber, you know, he had a discussion with Louis van Gaal, and Louis said, okay, it's better for you to stay at Ajax one more year, and then they switched to Lisandro Martinez. Together, they were really excellent in the build-up, in the first stage of the build-up from behind. So, Lisandro Martinez will get that role, and he will dribble more into midfield and be an extra midfield player when possible. But he is also very good in the 1v1. So, I think it's a perfect fit with Man United, especially bringing extra passion to the type of play Ten Hag really, really likes.
Very much like your pal then, I would say.
Which pal would that be, Greg Burley?
Well, Martinez is very small and makes up for it by being an aggressive little so-and-so.
I would
suggest that's you in a nutshell.
He's right-footed though.
Stirring the pot over there, trying to make up for it.
Is 5'9" a problem in seriousness?
Go and ask Cannavaro.
Right.
Go and ask Franco
exactly.
Baresi.
Okay. Exactly.
Go and ask all these. Look, I get it. The archetypical centre back in the day was 6'4", and by the way, they couldn't run.
Mm. Right.
Remember back in the old days, the strikers was always like, I mean, the striker could give a defender, you know, 5 yards, and beat him. That's just not the case anymore. It's about reading the game, and also being good in the air is not about how tall you are.
Right.
Mm. I mean, it's about your timing and your spring. So no,
and you have to jump into people as well, so they put them off balance. It can at times be a problem. You know, like Azpilicueta, when he's playing as the third centre-half for Chelsea, people started to hit the centre-forward to go and pull on him and try and beat him in the air. But Martinez is a better header of the ball than Azpilicueta.
Right.
And it's no surprise that people are looking at Koundé from Sevilla, because he's not the biggest player either, but he's got good spring, he's aggressive in the air, and he's a good footballer. So it's a similar sort of signing, really.
Does he start? Is it him and Maguire?
I mean, I don't know.
You spend this money, surely.
You know. What are you going to do with Rafael Varane as well?
What's he ever done?
what's he ever achieved? I mean, he had a difficult year last year.
Yeah.
You know, United were poor defensively. He had his injury problems. I don't know how he sees it. I mean, I never think Varane's the most comfortable coming out with the ball. Go on.
Ten Hag is going to start Martinez 100%, because one of the principles of Ten Hag is the build-up from behind. You saw it in the other match where he really got angry at De Gea for kicking a long ball. He really wants to dominate from behind. And if you want to dominate, you can't dominate with Varane and Maguire. You have to have a footballer next to
Let's just say
defender.
Though, Maguire's had a poor season last year, but for England, he's been magnificent on the ball. He's the one that starts all the moves, so he could play on the right.
Magnificent is a stretch.
He's good on the ball. That's his strength. His strength has been when he was at Sheffield United, when he was at Manchester United, when he was at Leicester. He came out with the ball. He was probably England's best player out from the back. They talk about Stones. He's not good on the ball, I don't think.
Right.
But Maguire is. So if you've got Maguire on the right-hand side,
yes,
and then Martinez on the left-hand side, they can do as we've
been
saying.
Which is why City wanted to buy. Which is why City wanted to buy Harry Maguire when he was playing well. But I do agree, and I think that's a problem for Raphael Varane, who, as you say, what the hell's he done in the game, apart from World Cups, Champions League and La Liga titles? But he's not the best with the ball at his feet.
No.
He's very cumbersome. He looks uncomfortable under pressure when he gets it. Yeah, he's a good one-on-one defender. He's very fast. He's big and strong and he's experienced. But he's not super comfortable and he's not a great passer for a centre-half.
Meanwhile, another Ajax player has been linked to Manchester United. Anthony, have they been in contact with you, Marciano, get you out of retirement, get you over back to United? What can you tell us about Anthony?
Anthony is a very exciting young striker. He plays as a right winger with his left foot coming inside. He's a Brazilian international. And he's competing with Rafinha for the same position. But at Ajax, he's been doing really, really well. He's been a threat in Champions League as well. And, he has the same kind of touch like Robert. You know what he's going to do, Arjen Robert from a couple of years ago. You know what he was going to do, that he would cut inside and then kick the ball in the long corner. He has the same ability. And he is technically, he is a showman. He is somebody who will really get to the highest level of football. But he's still young, and Ten Hag is really fond of him. So, if he would come to Man United, I think the crowd would really love him because he is capable of passing players and creating new situation. And also his assists are really good. Those crosses into the box are really dangerous. So for me, it's a really exciting player.
How dangerous is it to have your eyes on almost any one club? Like, obviously, it's your former club as well. It's what you know, what you trust, and who you believe in. I get that side of it. Is there a downside to it?
Yes, that you favour those players because you've worked with them before.
Right.
That could be a problem. I mean, we saw when Ajax had a good cup run in the Champions League a few years ago.
Yes.
De Ligt went somewhere, and then De Jong went somewhere, and Van der Beek went somewhere. Everyone said they were excellent players. I'm not sure any of them have reached their full potential or played quite as well as we thought they were going to play at those clubs.
True.
But I think it tells you what his initial thoughts about his own squad.
Yes.
That he feels that he's very comfortable. Okay, he knows a lot of the players in Holland, probably all the players. But he feels that he can go back in there to Ajax and other clubs and they can improve Manchester United. Now, we're saying that off the back of them spending almost as much money over the last two or three years as anybody. Yet he still feels he can go back into his old club, pilfer some players, and that's going to improve people like Jadon Sancho, who's a 100 million plus player. Marcus Rashford, who was a bit of a wonder kid a few years ago and has lost his way. So I think it's telling you that he's unsure about the turnaround that he's going to get with the current Man United squad. I'm not saying he's given up on them because they'll all get a chance, but I think obviously he's had a look at them from afar and now a look close up and thinks, do I trust them to really save my skin? And I think the answer at the moment is probably no.
Ten Hag is a coach and he'll dictate the way he wants his team to play. And a lot of those Manchester United players have not had a proper coach for the last three or four years. They've had coaches that have allowed them to play their own way. That's what Ten Hag has probably looked at and thought, I can't influence these players. I've got to have all these new players that I know well.
Right.
I know they can play my way.
Some of these guys have been an easy street. If you look at some of the coaches, well, David Moyes came in and left. They had a good CV at Everton. Most people think he shouldn't have been there. And then we're looking at two brilliant coaches, but certainly over the hill, and Louis van Gaal. And Mourinho was past his best as a coach. He wasn't the magical Mourinho that he was at Porto and at Chelsea and at Inter. They then move on. They had a guy, obviously, in Solskjaer who the players knew he shouldn't have been at the club. Mm-hmm. And then they had, I don't know what Ralph Rangnick was doing, but because it was a disaster. But all these players sort of sussed that. Now they have a guy who's at his age, at the prime of his coaching career, with a magnificent CV, with a steely resolve in terms of he wants to do it, and there's no hiding place because he knows there's no hiding place for him.
Yeah,
he's taken that big jump from the Dutch league, where he was the big name, to Manchester United, where he's in this big pond now with some of these great coaches, and he's going to live and die by it. And yeah, he'll get time. He'll get time, but he's not going to suffer some of these morons that have swanned about and taken the money and made everybody else an excuse.
And they've got to be patient with him. They have to be patient with him, because you can't just turn things around in the first 10 weeks of the season.
Right.
Even if they have a couple of poor performances, a couple of bad results, you've got to stick with it, and the players have to stick with it as well.
That's the key as well, isn't it? Marciano, when you look at it and look at what happened in the past, it's trying to keep that group of players together, because we know last season there were leaks coming left, right and centre.
No, but I do believe that he already cut out most of the players who are really, I don't say rubbish, but, you know, really bad influence into the team. Probably for me, from the outside, looking into Man United, Pogba leaving is a blessing for this Man United. And him bringing in players from Ajax, Malasias from Feyenoord, and the only one is now Martinez, and Anthony is maybe linked up with Man United. But if you look at the five at the moment, you know, I know it's preseason, but if you just look at the five, the technical ability of players, I haven't seen Rashford playing this well for a couple of years. And you see a different kind of spirit in the team. That's what he already brought within 3-4 weeks of preseason. And I do honestly believe that this is the right coach for this Man United. He's really strict. He's a guy of principles. His English might not be up to standards yet, but he is a coach who really knows where he wants to go with this team. And he might use some players who were already at Man United. He might bring in some other players, but there will be a group the people are really excited, going to be really excited about. So I have the tremendous trust in Ten Hag.
I think Eriksen as well.
Eriksen, but he never worked with him.
No, but I mean, I think because of what happened to that fella, that people just automatically think, it's never going to be the same.
Right.
But I think it pretty much is.
I think people think he's a better player now than he was 2 years ago. Manchester United wouldn't have been that interested in him. Tottenham were quite happy to let him go. He wasn't playing at his very best. And suddenly, Since the heart problem, he's come back. He played brilliantly for Brentford, much better than he had been for previous seasons.
Yeah.
Probably the last two seasons he was before the heart problem. And now he's a good player again, and Ten Hag will probably get the best out of him.
Meanwhile, Marciano, Frankie de Jong.
That's a really toxic situation in Barcelona. You have like a president who, I think, tries to make him look bad with the supporters. You know, he refilled his salary. He said he needs to lower his salary. But Frankie says, I already lowered my salary due to Corona. I gave the club a lot, and they would pay me in the coming years. They would pay it back. So I heard it's about 17 million euros. So that's a lot of money. Mm. And now he's in a situation where the president is talking negative. Xavi has taken him to America for the preseason. He plays in a role where they already bought Kessié, and Busquets is not moving. So the situation for Frankie gets worse by the day. So in my opinion, he should reconsider and take the new role at Man United. And Ten Hag really wants him. He knows Ten Hag. He could be, with Martinez, the link to get the play started from the back line. So, in my opinion, he should leave Barcelona as soon as possible.
I think Frankie de Jong, if he didn't already know beforehand, and I'm sure he had a good idea, that this club, no matter who the hierarchy is, has very little scruples.
Mm-hmm.
They will wash everybody's dirty linen in public if they think it's going to benefit them. And that's the way they've done their business. And I'll go back to it. This is a club who... I'll go back to this very small minor matter, but I think it was bigger in the bigger picture, that were prepared to go and pilfer a relegation side in Spain in Leganés to get Martin Braithwaite because they was one. They were a little short of players. They'll do anything to try and get the upper hand. They'll do anything here to make this about Frankie de Jong. So, it's up, I suppose it's down to him. Does he want to stay and put up the fight?
Yep.
And how detrimental is that going to be to his career and to his own personal welfare, having that sort of mental battle? Or is it time just to wash your hands of it and say, look, you know, I know this club might be on a better footing in terms of what's on the field, but you know, all the problems I've had and what the owner's been saying, make a fresh start, go to Man United with a coach that you know wants you to be there.
25 years old, he's got the best years in front of him. He can't waste a couple of seasons. Right. Because with Pedri, Gavi, yeah. Kessie, Busquets, they're going to try and force him out.
Right.
So if he stays at Barcelona and he doesn't play, he's not going to be a better player for that. He's got to go somewhere, play football and be the top-class player that everybody expected him to be. He's got a World Cup coming up. Could he go and be one of the best midfield players at the World Cup?
We've seen a lot of Gab in studio, haven't we, over the last couple of days. If you want more of Gab, be sure to check out his latest article over on the website talking about Manchester United and Cristiano Ronaldo.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The new Bayern, of course, part of the new Bayern is De Ligt, who made that big move from Juventus. Marciano, we talked a lot on yesterday's show about De Ligt's potential. In your opinion, why didn't it work out at Juventus?
First of all, I'm really glad that he left Juventus for Bayern Munich. When De Ligt, I think in 2019, he won the Best Talent Award. And he was at his peak at Ajax. He was performing well. He was the leader of defense. He was pressing forward. He was dribbling into midfield. He was like everywhere. And then he went to Juventus to become a better defender. And he was too eager to become a better defender. So he adapted the style of Chiellini and Bonucci. And those guys are really old and they don't want to play with a lot of space in the back. So what did they do? They were just saying, hold the line, and then move slowly backwards and then hoping that other players would come in and help out. So Matthijs was adapting that kind of defending and it didn't suit him. He was making mistakes, and then when he got into the national team, he got into spaces and he wasn't used to defend spaces anymore. He wasn't used into press forward anymore. So then he lost his position to Timber, and he got more and more into an area where he shouldn't be going. So he was lost, in my opinion. And so I'm really happy that he's now at Bayern Munich and he has a coach with Nagelsmann who really said, I want the leader, Matthijs de Ligt, in defense. We're lacking a player who is using his voice, who is helping out other defenders. So we really need the leader from Ajax again. So I'm really happy for him. And I hope by making this move, he can get back into the national team again. Because he was really lost. He was lost into this Italian swamp.
Blame the Juventus. Italians. Blame the Italians for everything.
Well, I don't agree with that entirely because Bonucci and Chiellini have been great players. And the problem that he had was that when he went there, and he just said that there, he was a leader at Ajax. He went to Juventus and there was two other leaders there. And he played with Bonucci, who's very good on the ball, and he was their playmaker. He hit those big diagonals. And De Ligt stopped coming out with the ball. He stopped being a playmaker. He'd give the ball to Bonucci and Bonucci did all the playmaking. And he made mistakes. He didn't always read the game particularly well. He was reckless on occasions and gave away penalties. De Ligt can be, again, a top-class player, and I think it's a great move for him. And what he has to be is given that key role. You're going to be our main defender. Right. You're going to be the key player. He didn't have that at Juventus because they had two players that have been magnificent footballers who just won the European Championship as well.
But plus the fact he came into Juventus, well, part of his time at Juventus was at a time where they sort of fell off a cliff in terms of their standards. They went down the Pirlo route.
He had three different managers, Sarri, Pirlo, and then
Sarri. Sarri came in with this great new idea of changing the whole ethos and playing this tippy-tappy stuff that we saw, that people used to drive you nuts, saying, oh, this is Sarri ball, all that Chelsea stuff. Then they went to the inexperienced Pirlo. Then they went back to basics with Allegri, with this more stubborn, pragmatic style. And there's no doubt he lost his way. It's a big move for a young guy going into such a big club in Turin. But I go back to this. I mentioned it on the show the other day. This is a guy who led Ajax and his national team as a teenager. And he needs to get back to being that confident guy who's making good decisions, who's coming out with the ball, and feels like the player that everybody was talking about as an 18, 19-year-old again. I think he lost some of that in Turin, and I think it's brilliant for him that he's getting out of there at this age, because there's plenty of time to rebuild that career back up to be the defender we know he can.
And remember, he can come back from disappointments. He played for his debut at 17. He'd only played two games for Ajax. He made his debut for the Dutch side against Bulgaria. He made two mistakes in the first half. I think he was taken off at half-time.
You've got some memory.
But he came back and proved that he's a top-class player at Ajax, and he'll be a top-class player again. Could be with Van Dijk, if he plays for the Dutch side at the World Cup, the best centre-half partnership at the World Cup.
Marciano, we say thank you very much for joining us. Always great to have your insight from the Netherlands. Just a reminder, of course, the Ligt's Bayern Munich will kick off the defence of their title live here on ESPN Plus pretty soon now, 2 weeks ago, August the 5th. Eintracht Frankfurt against Bayern, just a reminder as well. Every single game live on ESPN Plus.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Meanwhile, we're at the quarterfinal stages, aren't we, of Euro 2022. Today was all about Germany against Austria. And to reflect on that game, let's go to Kay, Steffi and Danielle.
Thanks so much, Dan. Germany through to the semi-finals. And it's like Gary Lineker once said, it works in the women's game too. 22 players chase a ball for 90 minutes. And in the end, the Germans always win. Now, everybody was talking about the 8-time champions not being the dominant force they once were coming into this tournament, Steffi. It looks like they're heading back to the top.
Yes, and it really looks like it. I mean, we had a tough road, dropping out in the quarterfinals two times. We had five years now to form a new team, and it looks like that we're back on the favorite side.
So what's going so right for Germany right now?
Well, it feels like there have been the good structure, like the German structure is always a good defense, but in the offense, they're very flexible. They have many skills. They have types of
They're variable. They can beat you in a lot of different ways. I mean, yeah. We saw that today. We've seen that throughout the course of this tournament. It feels as if there can always be a plan B, because if person A can't beat you, then person B can beat you. And that's what adds the depth to their attack and what really, I think, elevates them to a higher standard.
Yeah, the subs have been slotting in so seamlessly. If we talk about their strengths, though, where do you think their weaknesses are, Danielle?
At the back, a little bit. I think they're two center backs. And we saw that a few times today. I don't think Austria ultimately took advantage of early balls in behind, of little combination play to expose those two central defenders. So still some vulnerabilities and some questions there. I think looking ahead towards whoever they play, either France or Netherlands, that's going to be a test of another level.
Let's take a look at how the bracket is shaping up then. Two teams who have already booked their spots in the semifinals on opposite sides of the bracket, England and Germany. For Germany, as Danielle just said, it could be France, it could be Netherlands. Who would Germany rather have?
I would guess France. I think that the Dutch team is very compact, and so they would probably prefer France.
They would prefer France. You think they have a better chance to go through against France?
You asked me.
I did. And then you gave me the right answer. That's why you think it is. Would you feel the same way if I put that question to you, Danielle?
I have no idea who's going to win the France-Netherlands game. And the reality for Germany, honestly, and what they do so well, is they often focus on themselves, and they have that luxury because they're so good. They're going to say, whoever wins that game, we're going to take them on, no question. I can't pick that Friday game or that game. I'm at a loss.
Well, good news is we can continue to watch it as the tournament goes on. We'll find out how Germany fare in that next game in the semifinals. Back to you, Dan.
Thank you very much, Kay. And of course, we'll be looking back at that game on the next edition of the show. So be sure to join us.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig Burley is with us, as is Stuart Robson. Robbo, what we reckon, it was 2.5 years since you've been over here?
Yeah, and the last time I came on into the studio, I cracked my head
on the camera. You're bleeding, the ambulance came.
Yeah, it was interesting.
It was all very dramatic.
Yeah, you weren't very sort of sympathetic towards me, I don't think.
I think I was, Robbo.
No. One other man has cracked his head on that
Adrian
camera.
As well.
And he's not quite the full. He's a sandwich short of a picnic.
You talking about Stevie?
No, Adrian. Adrian Healy did.
Adrian Healy did it
on there as well.
Sorry, Stevie, I shouldn't have said that, really. Should I? Yeah.
I know your first thought. Yeah. It's got to be Stevie. Yeah.
And your voice is everywhere because the new FIFA 23 dropped to the trailer, didn't it?
It did, yes.
How was that going? How are you with your patience?
What do you mean with my patience?
Well, because I can imagine they want everything spot on, your pronunciation, everything. And then they say, Robbo, can you just do that differently? And you don't take well to that sort of environment.
No, I do. I would say that I am...
So it depends on the money.
Yeah, depends on the money.
Patience depends on the money.
Yeah. And it's a thoroughly enjoyable experience. I'm working with Derek Ray, of course.
Right.
Our own Derek Ray.
Yeah.
So it's
how long does it take you, do you reckon?
How long does it take us to do the... I did 41 days last year. I didn't have to do so many this year. It was 20... Sorry, I did 15 days.
Right.
5 hours... Five-hour sessions.
It's not too bad, is it?
Not too bad.
Yeah. Craig's a big FIFA fan.
I'm sure he is. Yeah. Well, I know you are, because you always, when you lose, you phone me and complain.
Well, because you're always having a go at me. You're going, oh, no. What
terrible effort.
Yes, exactly.
Now, Derek, you know, we know he's a big pronunciation guy. How's that?
Well, he pronounces it one way. I do it something slightly different, I think.
Yeah.
It works. Well, so I say.
Craig, is Lingard to Forest a good move considering he hasn't played much and is also signing a huge contract for a newly promoted side?
As if he buys my house.
Yeah, is he going to move
You shouldn't ask Craig. You should ask Craig's son that. He's the big Forest fan. He'd know all the things.
No, Burnley's a proper Forest fan as well.
No, no.
He got excited when they got promoted.
Excuse me, I was thinking about my family.
Yeah, no, but he genuinely was invested.
He actually loves something.
No, I've never seen Craig invested
in his wife, of course. He actually loves something.
I was, but purely from a selfish point of view, I was thinking if they sign the players of this ilk on this kind of money, I can really bump the price and my gaff up.
Perfect.
Yeah. I'll let you know.
Okay.
But, and 200 grand a week reported.
Yep.
Didn't Forrest...
Did he afford your house for that? Better push.
Could have a couple of months. As long as he keeps it tidy. But I reportedly outmaneuvered West Ham in terms of money.
Right.
Where he obviously had a very good time and was successful. I would question, as much as I like Nottingham Forest, obviously, if West Ham and Forest were in for you, come on.
And you've had a good spell at
West Ham.
Well,
pushing for the Champions League last year, albeit a wafer thin squad, but had a very good season, fell away at the end. Rob said, the fans love you there, you were scoring goals, you worked for that manager. Yeah, Forest have brought a few players in, but it's going to be a struggle.
Right.
But can the club afford it? I mean, short term they can, yeah, but they've not paid that kind of, well, they've never paid that kind of money. Even the Roy Keynes and Stuart Pearces, all these superstars they had back in the day were on a pittance compared to that.
And they were always willing to sell their big players, Nottingham Forest, because they knew they could get big money for them at one point.
Is your grandson excited about Jesse Lingard? Have you had that conversation?
I haven't had that conversation yet.
He must be excited for the season. Has he got a season ticket? Or?
I think season tickets, as you would imagine, have been slightly more problematic to come by.
Yeah, but surely with contacts that his granddad has, then it'll be fine.
That's one reason he can't get the ticket. Craig Burley, is your granddad? No. I've heard him on that ESPN FC. He's so negative.
Hold on a minute. That is the pot in the kettle.
What does Robbo think of Dybala going to Roma?
Is it a good fit with Jose Mourinho? Dybala, I think over the period he's been at Juventus, he's had a couple of really good seasons. He's had a couple of seasons where he's been lightweight. I would always, a bit like Giovinco used to be for Juventus, a nearly man. He did some really good things. He's going to go past his man and get a shot. He's going to have great games. I'm not a great fan of Dybala, and I'm not sure he's going to fit into Mourinho's plans particularly well.
Craig, Lewandowski or Haaland, who will score more goals in all competitions this season?
Good grief.
Will Haaland play every week? That's the question.
But when he does play, how many is he going to score?
I think he'll play most. Julian Alvarez played last night, looked quite lively, but it's probably not.
You're all over this City Club America game.
Yeah. I know.
What's that got to do with Lewandowski and Haaland?
Because that's going to the point of how much will he play. He'll play a lot.
He does love to rotate.
I'm going to say Lewandowski.
I'm going to go with Haaland.
Why?
Because
he said Lewandowski.
Because he said Lewandowski. No, I think he's an outstanding player. And when you can say the same about Lewandowski. Once he scores one, he always looks like he's going to score a second and a third. Haaland.
Yeah.
And Man City make chances.
For Robbo, who do you think Xavi would prefer to have in his team, De Jong or Bernardo Silva?
Well, obviously at the moment he would like Bernardo Silva because they're trying to get rid of De Jong, and there must be a reason. And even when Xavi first came to the club, he made it quite clear to De Jong he wasn't his favourite player. He left him out the side, he took him off. Even when I think it was one game where he played really well, he took him off after 60 minutes. And I thought, he's saying to De Jong, you're not going to be in my plans long term. And that's why they're trying to get rid of him.
Which English player will have the best season? Saka of Arsenal, Jack Grealish of City, or Jadon Sancho of United?
Well, not the last one.
No? Why not?
Just don't know. I've got a feeling that, I don't know. He just looks a bit over cocky to me, and it looks as if he's come down a peg or two.
Right.
Looking at him. I might be wrong. I don't know. Saka certainly hasn't got that about him. I think he seems a very down-to-earth, level-headed young man.
Yeah.
And Grealish needs a big season.
Yeah.
I think he does. I'm going to say Saka would have the better season.
Really?
Man City, Club America.
Yes.
It was just a lot of the things in the game were from Grealish. I didn't see as much of the second half because we scuppered off somewhere. Where
You didn't watch the whole game?
No.
Where did you scupper off to?
Yeah. Shouldn't have said that.
You had it on your phone, though, didn't you? You watched the second half on your phone, though.
Listen, just the way the broadcast unfolded.
Right.
Nothing to do with me. Grealish did a lot of things and then they broke down at the end.
Right.
Which is what he did last year.
Right.
And you saw De Bruyne with end product.
Yeah.
You saw Mahrez with a pass through to De Bruyne. His end product last year, what he did at Villa, you can't do at City. You just can't. It's not accepted.
100% agree. No. Saka is the player that's going to play every week for Arsenal. Okay. He's an outstanding player. By the end of the season, I think all the big clubs will be fighting for his signature.
Really?
I think he's
why?
Since you're here and not shouting at a camera in France at Stevie, the last time when he was in Paris, and he got angry with Stevie.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on Grealish?
Well, Grealish, when he was at Aston Villa, ran with the ball, went past people. He's gone to Man City and he's frightened of losing it. Right. So when he doesn't do the things that made him such a good player the previous couple of years. He's now passing the ball square and passing it backwards, frightened to go past people, because I think probably Guardiola, when he loses the ball, has a go at him. The other players look at him and throw their arms up in the air. What made him such a great player at Aston Villa? His ability to go past people. He's not going past people at the moment. So I thought he was a complete waste for Man City last season.
Has any manager ever been sacked for a horrendous pre-season, or can be, parentheses, Everton?
Has any?
I remember a certain match, Real Madrid against Atletico Madrid.
Well, he got sacked fairly soon, about 3 years later, so I wasn't that far off.
You said that Zidane would be sacked within a couple of months, and he won the Champions League and La Liga that season.
No, he didn't. No, you're wrong there. He had a poor season. It was Real Madrid's one of their worst seasons.
No, I think they definitely won the Champions
League. Did they?
Oh. Yeah, I think they won the Champions League that season.
No, I don't think they did. No, Bayern Munich won it that year, I think.
I don't think so.
Having a good pre-season helps spirit, it helps everything you're doing. If you have a bad pre-season, I'm sure Craig had a couple of bad pre-seasons. I know when I first got in the Arsenal team, we went away and we lost to Austria Vienna 4-0. There was a big inquest. The players didn't like the training. We started the season badly and we came 10th that year. We got to 2 semi-finals, but we started the season badly in pre-season.
Right.
And it didn't get any better we didn't win any of the first 5 games. And it all started because the pre-season camp wasn't good.
Right.
There was a lot of friction between the players. We didn't play well in the games. We lost the final 2-0. We lost Austria Vienna 4-0. We went to Egypt and played a game and didn't play very well out there. And that started off the rot. Hopefully, that's not the case for Frank Lampard, because Everton, that performance against Minnesota was shocking.
I'm sure there has been a manager sacked for a horrendous pre-season. I've just not been involved with.
Right.
I mean, we've had bad results.
How concerned are you for Everton?
I don't know exactly what team he had out, but from the highlights, he had some experience.
But they've lost against Arsenal, haven't they? And they've lost now against Minnesota.
I know it's a great result for Adrian Heath up there, the former attorney at Minnesota. But that won't fill fans full of confidence who said, OK, we stayed up, just. Now let's get a broom and sweep some of this dead wood out. And
Richarlison's gone.
When you listen to what Frank Lampard was saying after the game, he didn't sort of say, oh, it's only pre-season, we didn't put out a full side, we're still trying to get fit. He said it was a poor performance and the players have got to learn they have to be better than this. We were in a relegation
battle.
Which
is what we heard a lot at the end of last season.
We were in a relegation battle last season. We can't be there again. And the players have to work harder, they have to be more intelligent. He said all these things after the game. So that's a big worry for Frank Lampard.
If they lose the first 3 or 4 of the season, I think what Everton will do this year is, if it looks like it's going badly, they'll make an early decision.
Yeah.
Rather than leave it to when they left it last year with Benitez, when it kept getting worse and worse and worse.
If you talk to anybody that was at the Everton, or had any association with Everton at the end of the season, you know who got them through and got them out of relegation? They'll all say it. The fans. The couple of home games where the fans were absolutely magnificent in behind the team, even when they were playing badly, they drove the team on. Not the tactics, not the players themselves, the fans drove the team on in those last couple
of
games.
Who told you that? A fan,
yeah. a bit like Stevie's mate. You know what he said about Liverpool fans?
Yeah, that's pretty much my mate. Final question. Big question, Robert. What is your favourite dessert?
My favourite dessert, without doubt, is an apple and blackcurrant crumble.
With a bit of ice cream on top. I like it. Custard.
Oh, no, ice cream. No. Ice cream on top. So you have it really hot, so the ice cream just melts into the cream.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah? Are you with me on that?
Oh, I think that's a good suggestion. What about you? What's your favourite dessert? A beer.
Not Stevie. Don't go there. You don't get a body like this.
Yep.
You don't get these chins.
Yep. Without dessert.
Without a creme brulee.
Oh, nice.
I love a nice creme brulee.
Creme brulee is nice.
Yeah, I haven't had one for ages.
That's very nice.
I'll tell you,
buy a creme brulee.
Pardon?
You have to make them, do you?
No, you can buy them in shops. Them.
Yeah.
All good shops, supermarkets.
All good supermarkets, there you go. I like creme brulee without the brulee.
I'll tell you what, we have. There's a British store opened.
Yes.
Won't mention names, not allowed to. However, she's infatuated, the missus.
Right.
And now I'm eating so much freaking
shots with you. She's always been infatuated with you, hasn't she?
You've met her.
Yeah.
Right. Don't.
Yeah, so it's all good so that you can't really get in the States.
Don't stir.
And they're all here.
Every night now, I'm going to. When I go to bed, I'm in the cupboard. Yorkies.
Right.
Yorkies. Yeah. Last thing at night.
Bit of chocolate soothing, melting in my mouth just before you go to sleep. Yeah. Well, you can't beat it.
Yorkie is like a big chunk of chocolate.
Yeah, proper
chocolate. No messing around. For those who don't know.
No, I can see them coming down in the morning in the cupboard, and if I've not eaten the York, the important thing is,
right.
If I don't eat it. Somebody will.
So you get there first.
You need to change your lifestyle. I mean, it's all going pear-shaped.
I have to admit, it's gone a bit south recently.
I remember when you used to be on that.
The cross trainer.
Yeah, they wouldn't let me in the gym. Well, 2 years I was banging at the door.
Gym's open now.
Yeah, but it's golf season. I don't do both.
No, that's fair enough. How's the rowing, Robbo? Still strong?
No.
Oh, what?
I've got very bad arthritis of my left knee, so I can't get. So now I have to do the cross trainer or the ski erg.
Oh,
I love
cross-country skiing.
But rowing is not...
I can't bend my knee to the position that you need to when you go back to the...
We'll do it with one leg.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? You know, so... But I'll get back to it. I just need it to...
And you're off... Where are you going tomorrow?
Green Bay. Bayern versus Manchester City.
Oh, fantastic.
You can watch that game.
There you are. Beautiful.
I watched the start
and then scupper off.
Just a reminder, we'll be back tomorrow. Are you here tomorrow?
No.
You've been done, 3 days this week? What's going
Don't
on?
Don't tell him. The boss doesn't know.
What are you
Shut
doing?
Up. Mate, he doesn't know.
You need to earn some Yorkie money. We'll be back tomorrow for more.